College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
888-808-1019, the number to call. Jay is calling from Miller Place. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for making it. Show. What's up?
Hey, listen, just 2 points. I know Volpe's struggles have been well-documented throughout the season. Do you think there's any chance that in the second half they would bring up Lombardi and either put him down or do something?
You're talking about George Lombard Jr.? I'm not sure with that. I forget about who they'd bring up, right? Because there's two separate things. Would they bring up Lombard and have him be an impact player, and would they send Volpe down? I don't know if the two would correlate. I'm not sure about Lombard, if he's ready or not. I wouldn't hold my breath on that for now. But again, I don't know. As far as the Volpe part, sending him down, I think that's more... And now, I don't think they're going to do it, but to me, if it continues like this, Jay, how do you not send him down?
You DSA LeMahieu, you're making changes. You're trying to say, hey, listen, we need to prioritize offense. Guys, and again, defensively, he's not there, right? To your point about consistency earlier in the show, you got to be consistent 1 through 9, and he is just, you thought he was a leadoff hitter, he's not. You got to be more consistent overall, so Boone's got to do something there.
Yeah, that's the, you nailed it, and thank you for the call, Jay. And I mean, you're going to hold other guys accountable, which you should, and this is not making a rash decision on Volpe. Here's what they're going to hope. They're going to hope that it corrects itself, and they're going to give it some time. I don't know how much time, because now they got the Red Sox breathing down their neck, and they're behind the Blue Jays. Now, that could change in a week, 2 weeks, okay, sure, and maybe the more success that they have, the more time it buys them, but forget about his offense. Right now, I think if you're Boone or Cashman or the Yankees, and I know from a Yankee fan perspective, if it were me, I would sign right now to have Volpe hit ninth, let him do whatever offensively, struggle, whatever you get's a bonus, but I need him to play clean defense at short. It's not third base, not second base, not first base. He's a shortstop. And on a team that's trying to tighten things up and get to a World Series championship level, you're going to roll Volpe out there who's going back on routine ground balls, letting the ball play him? What? And that's just one instance. That, like, what he did yesterday, that's not a major league play. That's not a big league play. Errors happen. His bad throw in the dirt to Goldschmidt on the run, that happens. By the way, he's not even putting enough on a ball. There was a play earlier in the game that should have been a double play, and Volpe just kind of floated the ball over there. Like, there are little things right now. He's not even doing it the right way defensively, like at a big league level. Errors happen. Mistakes happen. What he's doing is more than just a mistake, a physical error. He's lost. So to answer the question, if it were me years ago, I would have, the first year where there was some struggles, I would have sent him down. They didn't. They stuck with it year two. They're sticking with it year three. I think at some point, they're going to have to send him down. Otherwise, you're going to live with this? Could cost you. Could cost you your season. Jeff is in Cranford, New Jersey. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Sal. We don't want you moving back to Long Island, but letting you know there's rattlesnakes and copperheads in New Jersey also, and they are poisonous.
No, dude, I don't want... What do you mean? Rattlesnakes and copperheads? I don't even know what that is. Rattlesnake I've heard of.
Copperheads, just as poisonous. It's more in northern New Jersey, up in the mountains. I'm not sure where you live, but...
Well, what's northern New Jersey? Give me the county. Morris County? I think that's where I am.
Yeah, you can find them in Morris County, Hunterton.
What do you do when you see them? Like, you just see these things and you're like, oh, yeah, whatever?
I was hiking out in Worthington State Park, and I almost stepped on a rattlesnake. And when you hear the rattles, that's when you get freaked out.
Yeah, you think? Oh, I can't. Thank you for the call, Jeff, and for the insight. See, I can't blame the snake here. You were hiking. You were going into his house. You're going in. When you start hiking and you go in those mountains and woods and all that stuff, hey, all bets are off. You're entering his home. This guy was entering my home. I don't want to bother you. You don't bother me. I'm trying to go in the pool and enjoy a peaceful weekend. And I got to see this little thing there coiled up, in my mind, waiting to attack. But in reality, yeah, the lady, the animal controller, he's just looking for some sun. If he's still in the same spot, he's just looking for some sun. He's looking for some sun? I'm going to go elsewhere. Anybody else? You know, they don't tell you these things when you're buying the house. Oh, yeah, we've seen bear. We've seen snakes. A deer I could live with. Chipmunk, sure. Squirrels, I'm all for it. Even the fox, like, oh, okay. Saw one at night one time, driving home late at night. Not a big deal. Snakes? No, thank you. Cappy is calling from Mount Pleasant, New York. What's up, Cappy?
Hey, Sal. I'm sorry to go off topic for a second. Don't be mad at your screener. Mm-hmm. He was kind of, you know. But I thought it was interesting. I think your listeners will think this is interesting. When you brought up Giancarlo, and it came up twice, and you brought up the fact that he drove in 100 three times,
mm-hmm.
and this is the interesting thing. It's like a statistical quirk, in my opinion. Mickey Mantle drove in 100 runs four times. When I ask all my friends at trivia, they all guess 8, 9, 12, but he only did it four times. Much of the same reason as Giancarlo, because he was always hurt. But I just thought that was an interesting stat, that Mantle only drove in 100 four times.
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up now. 1, 2, 3. I mean, he drove in 130 runs in 1956.
Correct.
I mean, I guess. I mean, with Giancarlo, now, look, it is different from with Mantle. I don't know the exact numbers, and thank you for the call, Cappy. It is different where you're talking about the 50s and 60s versus 2025, or the last 10 years for Giancarlo, where scoring runs in today's day and age should be a lot easier. But, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't watching Mantle in the 50s or 60s. I know about his greatness. But on a day-to-day basis, Dove, do you know if it was Maris hitting in front of Mantle? Like, who, you know, were there table setters in front of him that he should have had more ribbies? Was it just because he was hurt? Again, I don't know the exact circumstance behind it. But, yeah, I mean, I would have been, if you were to ask me, I would have thought at least 10 times. Ton of walks for Mantle as well, just looking over. And I don't want to go down the Mickey Mantle rabbit hole, but point is, Giancarlo was expected to do a lot more than he's done with the Yankees. Marty is in Hoboken. Yeah. What's up, Marty?
Day basis. Well, do you know if it was Maris hitting his
Hey, Marty,
front of
Marty, turn the radio off. What's up, Marty?
Centers in front
yeah, yeah,
of him.
Okay, we got to let Marty go there. I wanted to get to Marty, but Marty's not paying attention. And Marty had said that he said I was a Yankee hater, so I was looking forward to having that conversation, but I could talk to myself without having Marty on the other side of the phone there. Eddie is calling from Center Reach. What's up, Eddie?
Yeah, how you doing? I want to talk about Cashman. I've not once have I heard last year when the Yankees went to the World Series, not once did I hear anybody complain about Cashman. He's done a phenomenal job for the Yankees. Phenomenal job. They got rid of LeMahieu. We love that. They really and truly need a third baseman. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Is this news to you? Like, some of us, Eddie, said that they needed a third baseman back in, I don't know, February, March?
Oh, yeah. They needed a third baseman. And I'm not really too keen on Dominguez out there. The other day, he should have caught that fly ball out there.
So what has Cashman done so well?
Kept them right atop the American League East every year. He's consistent every year. Otherwise, he would definitely be fine. They're perfectionists, the Yankees. They want to be great every year, and they don't really go with their young guys. They want to win every year now.
Eddie, that is, what do you mean they don't really go with their young guys? They've been going with their young guys quite a bit in recent years. Not only that.
I'm talking about their farm system. They like to trade them and get
they don't. They've kept those guys. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And not only that, you say they're perfectionists. Yeah. They want to win every year. They haven't been to a World Series without Juan Soto last year since 2009. You know how many years that is? For the Yankees?
What about that rookie that pitched the other day? He was throwing 100. That guy pitched great. Okay. That new rookie they got. He's good.
What about him? I'm confused.
I mean, they need starting pitching, don't they? So it's a step in the right direction right there.
Yeah, Eddie, I'm not sure. You're all over the place, and thank you for the call. I'm not sure exactly what your point is to protect Brian Cashman, but if it's that they expect to win every year and they hold themselves to the highest of standards, I would punch back on that and say they do not. They could hope that that's the case. They have not spent more than anybody else. They have been more cautious of the luxury tax threshold. That's Hal's words, not even mine. They keep referencing that. Whereas in his father's days, you know, George, they would go out there and spend in 2009, the last time the Yankees won the World Series, $50 million more than the next team. And also to say that they make it every year, just 2 years ago, they didn't make the postseason. 2 years ago, 2023, they did not make the postseason. They won 82 games, which was their worst season in quite some time. So, now you can say generally every year they win 90 games and make it. It's not every single year. And also the losing in the postseason gets old. And they didn't just lose. In 2022 in the playoffs, they got swept and embarrassed in the American League Championship Series. And their argument is, well, we were in the ALCS. Yeah, and our argument is, well, yeah, you're the Yankees and you weren't even close to the level that you need to be a championship contender. That was 2022. Last year, you saw what happened in the World Series. They got embarrassed in the World Series. The Dodgers punked them. Now, they were there, but they got punked in the World Series. And they lost their, not their best player, but they lost Juan Soto. They tried to bring him back. Not their fault, but they didn't do enough to keep him. Somehow, he left. You could argue if you think that they're better without, but they last year went to the World Series because Juan Soto and Aaron Judge were an all-time combination. And that's no longer there. I mean, we could go on and on over the list. 2021 just barely made the postseason, lost in the wild card. Lost in the division series the year before that in the shortened year, in the pandemic year. Like, you want to say that they're great? You could be okay with that. For me, I think it's, you know, I think it's past time for a change as far as the front office philosophy. But at some point, they're going to have to show us. And they haven't shown us yet. Even getting to the World Series a year ago. Let's see, you know, see how this year pans out. But right now, they're neck and neck with two other teams in the American League East. With the Red Sox and Blue Jays right there. Where they used to be the team that would blow them away. Nick is in Westchester. What's up, Nick?
How's it going, Sal? I appreciate you taking my call. First time, long time.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
Just wanted to speak on the MLB draft, and I'm as a lifelong Mets fan like you, I am very ticked off with their pick, to be honest. Listen, Mitch Voit, good, but kind of a character issue. You have him doing freaking Coke line celebrations on third base when you have Michael Lombardi. I know they didn't have a second round pick,
but they had
Michael Lombardi,
Nick.
who fell to the Royals, who is an absolute stud pitcher. Absolute stud pitcher. Amazing 12-6 curveball. You don't really get to see that
Nick, these are kids that maybe if you want to call in, like, I respect your passion for it and your insight and your knowledge with it. You can't get worked up about guys who you might not ever see in the big leagues, period. And if you do, like, when these guys you're getting worked up about, when do you expect to see them playing in the big league level?
Two, maybe 3 years. Yeah. Max three years.
Okay. So then, and then thank you for the call, Nick. Let's talk about it then. Because some of these guys either never see it, you don't see it till 5, 6, 7 years down the road. Like, I'm sorry, I could give two craps less about the MLB draft. Worthless. The names might as well be written in another language that I have no idea. It means nothing to me. I thought it was a cool story was Holiday, the other Holiday, got drafted by the Rockies. Jim Duquette said he was the best player in the draft. He went number 4 overall, so he's going to follow. And, you know, they had a bunch of pictures with him as a kid when his father, Matt Holiday, was a Rocky. So I thought that was a cool story. As far as the Mets and Yankees go, come on, dude. Come on. These are teams that are trying to win a World Series this year. And you think I'm going to worry about who they drafted? Couldn't tell you anything about these guys. And even the people that could tell you about these guys know nothing. You have a hard enough time predicting whether Mark Vientos or Spencer Jones or Alvarez or Lombard, pick a guy, or Volpe, who we heard about forever, then we saw him, now we're watching him for 3 years, he's still not what he was supposed to be. So you're going to get worked up about these guys? Come on, man. The MLB, like, now, prospects is one thing, MLB draft, oh, put me to sleep. Maybe I should have taken a vacation.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But we are already 10 days removed from the 4th of July. Happens every summer. 4th of July happens and boom.
Right. We're already mid-July. That means August is almost here.
Yeah.
And that means the summer's almost over.
We are, Thursday will be 7 weeks away from the first NFL game that counts.
Wow.
That seems like nothing.
I know it does.
7 weeks away from the first NFL game that counts. So summer already flying by. I hate wishing it goodbye. We're going to do some football throughout the week as well. I don't know if anybody else feels this way about the Giants and Jets. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was because of the way last season went. And maybe it's also because we had the Knicks make a run, but we didn't really have like the hockey run in this town too, where that kind of took away some of this. I feel like the Giants and Jets haven't played a football game in a year and a half.
Yeah, it does feel a long
time.
This
feels like the longest offseason.
It's because you kind of, not quit, but just you didn't have any faith at the end of the year. It just was kind of like, all right, what's next? Let's look forward to next year. So you stopped like actively paying attention to any of the games on the Sundays probably by mid-November.
I guess that's true too. And it was you knew Saleh had already gotten fired from a Jet perspective. You knew Rodgers probably wasn't going to be back, although some Jet fans lived in La La Land.
You knew major changes were coming to the Giants.
Yeah, you didn't know if the coach or GM would be fired, but you knew that there was going to be a change of quarterback. So you're right. While we all watched the games as fans, there was less excitement on a week-to-week level. But I don't know. I love summer, right? I grew up on Long Island. I love the beach. You were down at the shore this weekend. I love the pool. I love the summer stuff that goes with it. I never want to rush it. I am sitting here. I'm going, I feel like I haven't seen a football game in forever. And I never feel this way at this time.
Right. It's an emotional, I think, void that last year left us.
It does.
Like, look, it was, the season was interesting. I'm not saying the NFL was boring or college football even. I'm not saying any of that was boring. It just wasn't local.
Yes.
Everything was outside of us. And so, and particularly because the Eagles were so damn good.
That's another reason.
You just wanted to bury your head, not pay attention to it. Like, you just see them being successful, and look, you appreciate what they're doing, but you hate it.
Of course. Look, you can appreciate
and hate
something.
It's not entertaining to you.
I appreciate the health benefits of cauliflower. I hate it. So, yes, absolutely. That ruined the end of football for me, too. But, yeah, so we're going to start itching along. There's already been some whispers out in the newsroom. Right. When are we going to go to training camp? Stuff like that. So football is definitely top of mind. We're going to sprinkle in some football topics as the baseball dies down throughout the week. I mean, and if you want to call on that, if any of you feel like you haven't seen a football game in forever and you have that same itch, by all means, 888-808-1019. Still have your calls on the All-Star Game Home Run Derby stuff. So about 2 hours ago, we started the show with Tiki, myself, Tommy. Our ultimate, I think, concern, if we had to pick one, for the Mets and Yankees alike. And look, there are multiple to have, and that's fine. And look, we all have high expectations for our baseball team. But there was a concern that Tiki hit on, which was the starting pitching.
Right.
Doesn't trust it. And that ties me into something where I want to say, I kind of told you guys so, and I knew something was up. And Max Fried. When Max Fried got scratched from the All-Star game at the end of last week, Aaron Boone, we all kept saying,
you're right, but you made it sound like it was going to be something
bad. Okay. Yes.
Now, a blister could be bad because you know how long these things can linger, be a pain in the butt. You might, who knows if he's missing his next start? You don't know. But at least it's not, oh, he's got a shoulder impingement or something stupid like that.
I'm relieved. You're totally right. But I knew it wasn't as simple as he's pitching Saturday, so he's not going to pitch in the All-Star game. I was born on a day, and it was not yesterday. It's always the pitchers that pitch on Sunday that can't go to the All-Star game pitching inning. So as soon as I saw that excuse, I thought something was up. Max Fried had not looked his same self in the two previous starts. The Blue Jays start was fine. It only struck out two, kind of labored through. The Mets start, member, he couldn't get deep into the game. And then this blister pops up. And for those of you who might be wondering, well, a blister pops up at a start. No, there's certain things that go on with gripping the baseball that the Yankees definitely sensed something was coming with his grip and everything, and then the blister fully popped on Sunday, and now they have to deal with this. And all it could take is a week of rest, and this could actually be the perfect time for it. And you're right. I'm glad it's not a shoulder impingement. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's not anything like that. But I knew something was up with Max Fried. All you have to do is watch the way he started the year and watch the way he pitched, and then see that All-Star game news. Stop trying to get one past the goalie here.
It's interesting. We were just talking a segment ago about how Pete Alonso opted to not participate in the Home Run Derby. And at the time, I know some Met fans were disappointed because Pete Alonso can win anytime he competes in the Home Run Derby. And he's only one win away from tying the record for most wins in a Home Run Derby with Ken Griffey Jr. But at the same time, what he said was, I just kind of want to rest.
Yes.
And so you credit him for realizing that the rest of the season is bigger than the All-Star weekend. And now how does that pertain to Max Fried? I think Max Fried also, he could have pitched, you know, gone out and thrown, or not thrown anything.
Right.
Right? Just said, hey, Booney, I'm going, but I'm not going to participate.
And right?
And it would have been robbing someone of that opportunity if they had never been an All-Star. So he did the right thing.
Yeah.
By backing out, and the Yankees probably encouraged him to. And now Rodon gets a chance to go to the All-Star game and throw, I don't know, 10 pitches or whatever it is.
Which is great. And make no mistake, Aaron Boone's manager of that team, Carlos Rodon, is getting in that game.
He better.
There is no way that Carlos Rodon makes this All-Star team with the Yankees, with the Yankee manager managing, and Rodon leaves that All-Star game not getting a chance and looking at the manager going, you couldn't put me in that game.
Isn't that a benefit of having your manager?
Exactly. Rodon will pitch in that game. 1,000%. Now, the question after that is, the Yankees are in Atlanta to start next weekend. Max Fried left the Braves to sign a big money deal with the Yankees. I am very curious to see off of this blister, will the Yankees throw Max Fried in Atlanta this weekend, or do they give him even more rest and start him the series after? Which, by the way, Toronto follows that. So the Yankees are going to have to make a decision here. If they wait to pitch Max Fried until Sunday to give him extra rest, he is not going to pitch in the Toronto series that follows that. But if he pitches Friday or Saturday, he will get... I'm pretty sure my math is right on this. He will pitch in that Toronto series.
Because that first game is Friday, right?
Right. I think they can manipulate it. So at least, yeah, 1, 2, 3, Toronto would be 4, 5. I guess not even. I guess you have to start Friday to pitch in the Toronto series.
He would have to come right and start the first game of the Atlanta series, in order to pitch in the Toronto series.
Yeah.
But the question will be, and we won't know this because they're in the All-Star break right now. I guess we'll get some kind of intel or I don't know, answers from those powers that be inside the Yankees to tell us how bad this blister is or if it's healing at some point. But I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't pitch in this Atlanta series.
So that's
and
where...
And waits.
I hope for their sake that they don't just pitch him in Atlanta because it means a lot to him to go face his former team. He signed an 8-year deal.
Yeah,
they will be back
in
Atlanta.
It's
in
the league. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
We need him to pitch against the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays series is going to be so paramount for the Yankees, no matter what happens in Atlanta, that you need Max Fried healthy and pitching there. So, my prediction, I think Max Fried is starting the fourth game back from the break, give him the whole weekend off, doesn't pitch in Atlanta, and will start game one versus Toronto. And the Yankees probably should manipulate it where, is it Rodon that starts that game one out? Is it Cam Schlittler that started? I mean, and you want to see his stuff versus Toronto, something like that. I would make sure to pitch Marcus Stroman this weekend versus Atlanta and void him versus Toronto at all costs, please.
Right.
And now we're talking.
Yeah. Cam, Stroman, Will Warren. Sounds about right.
Even though Rodon, you could hold off until Toronto, too. Have him pitch that Tuesday.
Right.
That's a great way to do it. And then you still have Fried and Rodon back-to-back after that. I think me and Tiki have figured it out.
All right.
That's the Yankee
rotation.
You heard it, Boone. That's it, Booney. 888-808-1019. Okay, up and down the board. A lot of, what's called potpourri. Lorenzo and Keyport. Lorenzo, what's up?
Okay, I'll preface by saying I spent no time thinking about this, but I think I have 4 possible quick options for the All-Star game.
Let's hear it.
What do you
got? Number one, remember, I took no thought with this. Little League World Series starts in August. Have the first round, the All-Star weekend, instead of the All-Star game, because I'd rather watch the kids who want to play in the first round. No. All right. Second one, if you're going to play them, if the players are going to play, let's play wiffle ball. Forget baseball. Let's do wiffle ball. Let me see what happens. Third option, pay them $1 million. Half they get. The other half goes to charity, so they're guilted to play, and the teams who have the 6th lowest salaries have to pay that bill. Get them out of the bottom so they're not the Pittsburgh Pirates trying to be at the bottom. The last one, blow the whole thing up and don't do anything and give me 4 days off. Thank you.
I mean, that's... The last one might be the one that would kill baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? You need it for the kids in the middle.
Right, of course.
When we were younger, Tiki, the baseball game was such a big
deal. Wiffle ball would never go.
Well, or talk about messing up swings.
Yeah, exactly.
They would
light
mess up the
bats, swinging hard as hell at a little wiffle ball.
This is where I think the NBA does a terrible job. And hockey and football are okay because they do their stuff kind of like earlier in the day.
Right.
But the NBA during a school year plays an all-star game at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday night now. Who is that for? That is for celebrities and adults, but the game itself should be for kids.
I agree.
So the summertime, everybody's off for school or whatever. So I think that's where the baseball game still plays at 8 o'clock. We were younger. The baseball game was such a big deal. My dad would work, he worked in the supermarket business. So he worked a lot of weekend stuff. His off day traditionally was either Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a giant sleepover at my house, me and all my friends, every All-Star game. And that's what we would do as kids. It was targeted for us. My dad would be the dad that was off on Wednesdays, and we'd all hang out, order pizza, drink our soda till whatever time. We did this like 10 years in a row.
Right.
Baseball, you can't take away the All-Star game because somewhere out there is the kid wanting to, you know, take some surge down his mouth and eat pepperoni pizza. It's for the kids. 888-808-1019. Gene in West Orange. Gene, what's up?
Hey, guys. I got to tell you, listen, as a Jet fan, I haven't seen a football game in a long time, and I'm not excited to see one this year.
Oh, God.
I'm broken as a fan. I've turned into Tiki where I have no more fandom.
Right.
And the truth is, I love Aaron Glenn. Awesome guy. Awesome player. But we know how this ends. Please help me fix this.
Gene, does that change if they win? Like, all of a sudden, if they're winning and it's you just feel, uplifted, does that change?
It will change, but the fact is, what are the odds of that happening? We've gone year after year with this. We're just this close, and it's almost going to happen. You know, we have the savior, and now we're back to square one.
No, I know what you mean. Like, you don't want to get your hopes up again, right? First, it was Robert Saleh, all gas, no brakes. Then he gets fired in his fourth year. Then it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, we're going to that Lombardi trophy looks lonely in there. And then he tears his Achilles in the first game. It's like every single thing that's supposed to lift you lets you down ultimately.
You get your heart stomped on.
Yeah,
but isn't that
over and over and over again?
It's also part of being a fan. And that's why ultimately, if and when you finally get to see your team win it all, it's unbelievable. It's magical. Look, I'll say this. I wave pom-poms sometimes for the Giants. Mm. We're all guilty of that.
Right.
And then there's times I get really negative. I know Tommy feels that way too. For as a Jet fan, man, if you're ever going to be positive, you got a new head coach in Aaron Glenn.
We're the freaking New York Jets. We're built for the
You're not tied to Justin Fields long-term. And if you end up tying yourself to long-term, it's probably a good thing. Means you had a good year.
Right.
I find no reason not to be excited about Jet football this year. Or even, at least from the Giants' point of view, they drafted a quarterback.
Mm.
We've been through crappy times. It's been a long time since we've seen football. It's mid-July. These teams start training camp next week. Why the hell not get excited?
I agree.
Why not? None of us should go into the year thinking we're going to beat the Chiefs for the Super Bowl.
Right.
But this could be a really big building step year for both of these organizations. And if you just approach the season that way, why wouldn't you be excited?
Of course you're excited.
Yeah. It beats the hell out of arguing about Anthony Volpe every day because that's not changing.
I agree.
888-808-1019. Dave and Merrick. Dave, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How's good.
Hey, listen. I had a funny thought. How about get the mascots involved? The mascot race going on.
Like a big mascot race?
Oh, the All-Star game? Aren't they all there?
They're all there, but they're all putting on a show. I guess your point, Dave, is like have them race through the outfield or something?
Yeah, exactly.
No, bang, home run derby contestants wearing mascot outfits like the Masked Singer. It's Fox. Doesn't Fox do the Masked Singer?
They do.
Work with me here. We don't know who's underneath the costumes. Every time they're eliminated, they take off the mascot head. And that doesn't mean, Yankees don't have a mascot. Jazz Chisholm could be Bernie the Brewer.
I love that.
This is great. You hit the home runs with the mascot outfit on. Now, you might hit less home runs. It'll look ridiculous.
Right.
But they do it as a tie to the Masked Singer. I figured it out, Fox. You're welcome.
That's a big head to be swinging a bat, though.
It is.
You got to adjust that. I love the idea. You got to adjust the mask, though, I think.
Maybe that's what you do the bunting contest.
How can you see?
Well, there's eyes in those masks.
Yeah, but it's still obscured.
And it's a small object you're trying to hit, obviously.
Right.
I could tell you, based on Mr. Mech could see just fine.
See that took us from space.
How great would that be?
It would be great. And not all of them are masks, like the Philly Fanatic. It's like a onesie. I think with Mr. Met, it's more of a big head you put on. But obviously, whatever mascot is the team, like if Pete Alonso's in it, he would be Mr. Met or Mrs. Met. Whichever one he wants to go with, that's fine.
You'd walk away from those home run derbies laughing your ass off.
That would be tremendous.
It's about being entertained.
And I think that could even be, if you don't want to like get away from purists, if you want to say that, that could be like the appetizer to the actual home run derby.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like just throw in another.
That could be one of those, you said have pitchers do it. Send four pitchers up there in four mascot outfits to do it.
Here's the other problem that I'm at least having right now. Can I name more than five or six baseball mascots at this point in my life?
Well, let's go through. You have the Philly Fanatic, Mr. and Mrs. Met. Okay, stop. The Braves have a mascot?
That's the point.
They have
right?
Like a dog, don't they?
Do they?
Like,
I know Billy the Marlin.
Billy the Marlin.
Billy Marlin.
The Yankees don't.
The Yankees don't. The Nationals don't.
The Padres do.
Well, the Nationals have the Presidents. Do they all count?
No.
It's got to be like the official.
There's definitely a Blue Jay. The Rays have some kind of stupid thing. because of the Rays.
You're literally just pulling things. You're just literally pointing to things in the room.
I don't know their names, but
the
I'm
Rockies have the dinosaur.
Yeah, they call him
Rocky.
Rocky.
No, I don't know what they call
him.
Sounds good. The Reds? Do they have?
Yeah, they have the guy with the mustache. He's got that.
But that's a person.
No, he's like Mr. Met over there, it's in the Nazi killing business.
Toronto Blue Jays have Ace. The Brewers have Bernie the Brewer and Barrel Man. The Braves have Blooper. The Cubs have a Clark. The Rays have a DJ Kitty. That's right, it's a cat.
And the Royals used to have a lion, but now they have Vinny Pescatino, they got the Sasquatch. And they call him Pasquash or something.
Right.
Oh, wait, I just saw it on television.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays have Junior as well. There's a free bird from the Cardinals.
So it sounds like every team has one.
All but three professional teams have mascots.
Of course.
Who doesn't?
The Yankees. Yeah.
I don't know who the other two are. The Yankees, who else would it be? Now, this is going to kill me. Maybe the Nationals. Maybe that's it because they have the president.
Well, the Dodgers don't, do they?
The Giants, like the older teams I'm thinking.
The Diamondbacks have a luchador. The Cub guy's a Cub. Dinger is the Rockies mascot, by the way. Gapper is the weird-looking guy with the Reds. Oh, hold on. The name for the Giants mascot is great.
What
ready?
UConn?
No. It's a seal in a Giants logo. It's named Lou Seal. Come on. The Moose at the Mariner games, obviously Mr. and Mrs. Net. Yeah, okay. So pause with the Tigers. How about that? And the big Oriole. All right, we got enough mascots. Bottom line is this. It's in play. Major League Baseball, we need a masked singer. Bang, we're in tonight. We'd be all over it. Now, if that comes out.
No one would hit home runs. No one would hit a home run.
That might be part of the fun.
Right.
Long ball contest then instead of home runs?
So the three teams, by the way, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Angels don't have a mascot.
Are you kidding me?
I feel like the Angel one would be an easy one.
They had the rally monkey back in the day, but
you know what?
That's not really a mascot.
I know. You know what? They play so close to Disneyland. They're so associated with Disney. They can't trot out their own mascot. They probably, I bet you they have Disney characters popping Angel games all the time.
I'm sure they do too. But again, Grimace isn't a mascot. So unofficial mascots like the rally monkey do not count.
They do not count. The Guardians have Slider. That's the other one. You're right. The Slugger, the mascot for the Royals, went away. He was a good one. 888-808-1019. Welcome to July. John, what's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? Tiki, much props, man. I watched your whole career, man. I
appreciate you, dude.
Lots of good memories with you. Thank you, brother. Sean.
Yeah.
Dude, do you think there's some magical potion that's going to cure a blister in 1 week?
I know. You know. That's what I'm talking about.
Guy throws 110 pitches a game. That you don't magically get a chunk of skin put back on your finger in a week. It just doesn't. When's the last time you had a blister on your toe or your finger?
John, I get them a lot. John, I only say that because I've sat here year after year in 38 years of my life and seen pitchers have blisters. And once they finally pop, within a week or two, they're on the mound easily. They don't go in the IL with the blister.
I do not foresee Max Fried pitching for at least the first four series after the All-Star.
No, John, that's not how it works with blisters, man. I know what you're saying. Max Fried's not the first pitcher to have a blister on his pitching hand. It is painful. It's a pain in the rear. It clearly was something building, and it had bothered him those other starts.
Right.
If Max Fried was going to miss the first four series, you know where he'd be right now? The injured list. He is not starting the second. I'll be the first one. You guys could clip this. Gallo could have fun with it. Throw it back in my face. If he starts Friday, we get word Max Fried's been put on the 10-day IL with blisters. I'll be the first one to eat my words. He's not going on the IL with blisters. Probably not going to start versus Atlanta. He'll be out there versus Toronto.
Now, that guy was just talking about magic elixirs for blisters. There is one. Urine.
No, stop. That's not true. That's for, like...
That's what?
It's for...
It's an old wives' tale?
Jellyfish?
That's also an old wives' tale.
Is it?
As somebody who's done it, it's an old wives'
tale. Are you telling me that didn't work for Monica when they stepped up?
Or wait a minute. You've done that?
Yeah.
For who?
Let's myself.
Wait a minute.
You got stung by jellyfish.
Why? Years ago.
And you peed on yourself.
Well,
yeah. Or is that just an excuse to pee on yourself?
Put in a cup, maybe, but.
Yes, I got
stung. Pour it on you.
Look, if you know the deal, Tommy.
I know the deal, Tommy. Let's just back up if you're just getting into your car right now. You got stung by a jellyfish at Tiki said, did you, on your pee on yourself. And I was, and then you go, Tommy, you know the deal. No, I don't know the deal. I don't know the deal. I'm not into that. I'm into a lot of things with girls, but I'm not into that. All right? All right? I'll go a lot of places. I won't go there. Okay? I'm not into it.
I know how this sounds. Look, I could be very gullible. You hear something, you trust it. What I mean by you know the deal is, I'm assuming it's kind of the same order, but usually end of August, beginning of September starts to be jellyfish season at some of our beaches on the island, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's also the time where the water is the warmest throughout the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is years ago. I think it was Gilgo Beach on Long Island. Not the murders were happening, but not the murders.
What?
Me. I'm in the water. I get, you know, like that little, it wasn't a big one, but it stung enough, and it stung like, oh, heck, you do the, you know, you come out, you're hopping on one foot.
Yeah.
And I went to, there's like some shrubbery, and that was whoever was with me at the time, you're doing a what on it. So I went, I hid myself, I pulled out little Bo Jackson, I aimed down at my foot, did the deed, did nothing but make it more stingy, and then I smelt like it. So I could tell you, it does not work. And then I think I looked it up like a couple years ago. Dude, I'm telling you, this was probably like 10 years ago.
I don't think it's to like make it feel, it's not like an aloe. It's not to soothe it. I think it's to keep it from getting infected, if all things,
if
you don't have anything else.
Sterile.
Yes. Right, kind of like a salt water rinse almost.
Yes, exactly.
But it's not a salt water rinse. Urine is one of the grossest, dirtiest things on the planet.
It's sterile.
It's sterile. Ask Moises Alou. He did that on his hands for calluses.
I looked it back up. Oh, I have calluses. I'm not doing that on my hands. Look it up, because I ended up looking up years later, and I realized what an idiot I was. That is a stupid old wives' tale that caught on. It's like the when you grow up and you turn the little light on in the car, and your parents told you you were going to get pulled over if you had the light on.
Right.
Lies. Not true.
No, it's not that. It's just distracting.
Exactly.
That's what I tell my kids then.
Okay.
It's distracting when you turn that light on.
So chocolate causes acne. Are you saying that that's not true? Because that's
true.
Another one I've heard forever. My grandmother used to say if my hair was wet, I would get sick. You're going to catch a cold.
I guess in the winter, maybe.
You catch cold from germs. Not because you're...
Well, that's what I told her. She goes, don't stand in front of a fan.
It's really complicated. So what happens is that when you're cold... This isn't a rabbit hole. I just know this. When you're cold, the cilia in your nose, it constricts and becomes less able to prevent germs from going into your nasal passages. And therefore, you catch a cold. So if you're cold, it makes you more susceptible to catching germs that cause cold. But if you're not around germs, you're not going to get cold.
All right, so that's the way you say it if you go to college. But my grandmother, the streets of Glen Cove in the Italian neighborhood, they said your hair's wet, so you're going to get sick.
Also, I got a tweet on baseball related, and I did not know this. I'm not going to pretend I knew this. Max Fried, this person's claiming, had 4 IL stints in his career, 4 blisters.
He's definitely had one I could remember. Yeah. I think
4?
I had him on fantasy
I don't
that
remember
year.
4. But...
4? All right, look. If he's going on the IL blisters, then they should have been more forefront
by the way,
about this weekend.
If this is the worst that's happening, I'll take it. seriously, a blister I would take over, he's got elbow tightness or whatever heck some of these pitchers are coming out with these days, especially our pitchers with all these injuries that have popped up over the last couple of weeks.
I didn't hear a singular question this weekend asked anybody about Max Fried going on the IL. And also, all right, so Max Fried's ended up there. Max Fried's not the first Yankee pitcher to have a blister.
Right, but he's not on the IL.
No, but my point is, I'm speaking from a point of how many times you guys pop up with blisters, and oftentimes they are out there 5 days later.
Right.
People leave games all the time with blisters.
That is accurate, by the way. 4 times in his
4
career.
Times?
I just looked it up. Yeah, starting from 2018, twice in 2018, it looks like, and then once in 2023.
IL stints for blisters, 4 of them? I think Max Fried's been pulled.
I mean, it just also gives you... It's probably giving him a chance to rest. You put him on the IL, gives him a chance to rest, skip a turn to the rotation, and then you come back.
All right, so this even makes more sense as to why the Yankees knew something was up with the other thing. It was more, you know, all right, the blisters from him have been an issue in his career. Either way, I would be very disappointed if we found out Friday he was on the IL with the timing of this, with a week off and leaving that game.
Right.
And if this was really building the last couple starts and they sensed it, then to begin with, they probably shouldn't have let him make the start here before the break with this history.
Yeah, but they kind of had to.
What are you doing
otherwise?
I mean, they could have went bullpen game.
Yeah.
Could have you? Because what does it matter if you empty out your bullpen? You're about to be off for a week.
True.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For now, we're starting with the first half. And for me, I'd give the Yankees a B. I'd give the Mets an A on their first half. Again, we grade based on results versus expectation, where I think the Mets really just missing, right? Obviously, they got to get healthier and add. But for the first half goes, they were missing Juan Soto producing with runners in scoring position. For me, with the Yankees, missing a little bit more than that. The lack of consistency. Even an example yesterday, forget the Volpe bad defense, although I'm sure you're going to want to call and talk about that. 888-808-1019. Even yesterday, just the lineup. Like, the Yankees front office and Boone, and this is how it goes. Now, I don't know this, I'm assuming this. Because I've heard from other accounts over the years of how it works with the front office collaborating with the lineup. The front office and the data people give the info to the staff, and then they decide what they want to do with it, fill out the lineup. Okay, great. So the data people and analytics, they'll say, okay, here are all the numbers. Here's what you want to do with it. And then Boone looks at it and probably says, okay, well, the numbers are saying, well, we got to go, it's a lefty today. We got to go right-handed heavy. That means Dominguez out of the leadoff spot, just for starters. And they put the lineup out there that the paper, the math says, it's supposed to go out there and rake. But in reality, it doesn't. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes, sure, you get a favorable matchup and it works. Hey, you know what? We played this guy or we pinch hit this guy here because we like the matchup and it works. Sometimes it doesn't. That's why it shows you it can't always be, well, this is what the math said. Hey, this is what the data said. It said to start all these guys. It said to move Dominguez down because he struggled right-handed. It said that. And I'll take it a step further. If you need to do that with your leadoff hitter, then he shouldn't be your leadoff hitter. If your best option at leadoff, and that's what it is with Dominguez, can't hit against left-handed pitching, then he shouldn't be your best option at leadoff. Go get a leadoff hitter. Not to mention the limitations at left field. Like, the Yankees have versatility, and they have really good options and can be a deep team. But they also have limitations and weaknesses with certain lineups, whether it is Dominguez in the outfield, whether it is lack of versatility from Giancarlo Stanton, meaning that if you're going to get his bat in the lineup, that threat of a bat, now you're taking away a spot from somebody else. And if you're going to bench him to get somebody else in there, you can't do anything else with him. Not to mention Volpe at shortstop, whether it's Dominguez right-handed. There are some issues there. Now, again, issues to what degree? But I do think that the division... See, here may be a why you get the two grades. And it took me about 30 minutes to figure this out. Many people did not expect the Mets to win the division. And they're right there, going to the All-Star break. Almost everybody expected the Yankees to win the division. And they're two games back with the Red Sox nipping at their heels. They're both looking up at the Blue Jays. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Kevin is in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. What's up, Kev?
How we doing, my friend?
Good. How are you, Kev?
I'm doing well, thank you. Listen, I wanted to call in. You kind of hit the nail on the head. The front office with the Yankees is just an absolute joke. It's the same thing year after year. Definition of insanity, expecting different results after doing the same exact thing. They have done the absolute least with the most resources of any team in any sport. And some people might say the Cowboys, but there's no salary cap in baseball. You say, oh, the tax threshold. They are the most revenue-generating team in the history of professional sports. And yet, they refuse to do the right things at the on the offseason deadline, whatever you want to call it. George has rolled over so many times in his grave watching his son run the team. He would have put out all the California wildfires by himself.
Well, give me the example, Kevin. Can you give me one example of a move that you wanted them to make that they did not?
First one, prime example. They did not even offer Bryce Harper a contract because they had Giancarlo.
Yeah, okay, well, it's a good one. No, it's a good example. It's a good one. And I'm not saying I disagree with you. I just wanted you to give me one that you were upset with, and thank you for the call. Now, that you can trace back to 2018, which is where I began questioning this regime. Now, I know that's the first year of Boone, but I'm talking about Brian Cashman. The Yankees, if you go back, and you know, hate to go back and, you know, okay, well, if they did this or this. Yeah, but all those different things that they did back then lead to where we are today. Their argument's going to be, yeah, you knucklehead, we were in the World Series a year ago, so we're glad we made all those moves back then because we got to the World Series last year. And I would argue and say, yeah, but you should have won multiple World Series already. 2016, the Yankees did the right thing. They identified themselves as sellers. What? The New York Yankees selling? How could this be? What is happening? They were right. Didn't have it that year in 2016. Sell. Rebuild. Baby Bombers 2017. No expectations, but we were all excited to see what the young players could do. And of course, they exceeded all expectations, led by Aaron Judge, getting to Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. From that point on, they started to chase, starting with the Giancarlo Stanton trade. They didn't need Stanton. I said it at the time. Now, it sounds crazy at the time, but I don't care. I believed in it. And now, years later, and even with you go, oh, Big G's great in the postseason, he's not the problem. The problem is because they made that move to add in a player who was redundant with Aaron Judge, especially at the time. That was before Judge even was, you know, next level. That was way before Judge became the best baseball player that I've ever seen. And it was when Stanton actually played the outfield. But they didn't need that. They needed to complement Judge more, not another power bat, an all-or-nothing bat. And Stanton has never been, you know, people are going to say he's a Hall of Famer. I would not put him in the Hall of Fame. And he's had some good years with the Yankees, certainly some good postseasons. He has not lived up to what he was when they got him from the Marlins. He's been often injured. He cannot play the field. Man, he's been accountable, good locker room guy, good person. All those things, sure. But as far as the on-field production, nowhere near what they were getting into. And because they made that move, that prevented them from getting Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. And that's just one. How about the idea of not trading Anthony Volpe for Luis Castillo? At the time, I said I would have done it years ago. Go try to win a World Series. You clearly need pitching. Go get Luis Castillo. They said no. Not only did that prevent them from getting Castillo, which might have helped them win the World Series. We don't know. It's all hypothetical. But it also prevented them from getting one of the top shortstops of the 15 that were available in free agency that year. Corey Seager comes to mind. And now here we are 3 years later with Volpe, who's been nowhere near the expectations. You see the trickle-down effects of these moves? Spencer Jones last year. Didn't want to trade him for Corbin Burns. Yeah, I know Corbin Burns is hurt now, but you could have had Corbin Burns in your rotation a year ago. Maybe that would have been a difference. I don't know. Richard is in Melbourne, Florida. What's up, Richard?
Yo, Sal, yes. Be honest with yourself. No way in hell you could give the Mets an A.
Why?
Because, listen to me carefully. They had a 20-plus game lead on the division. They were virtually running away with the division.
They never had a 20-game lead on the division.
They had at least a 20-game lead at one time.
Richard, no, they didn't. The Mets never led the division by 20 games this year. You're okay. So you're telling me I got to give a different grade. You don't even know your facts. They never. Okay.
So tell me something. You're going to give the Mets an A when they had, first of all, they had people were calling them, they were running away with the division. They had an 8-game lead on Phillies. Mm-hmm. Correct? Am I wrong?
I don't remember the exact lead. It wasn't 20, but they had a big lead over the Phillies. Sure. Okay.
So they're in second place now. How are you going to give the Mets an A?
Well, what would
when
you grade
they're not
them?
Even in first place?
What would you grade them?
At least a B plus.
Oh, okay. Or B minus. So it's semantics. I told
you.
You
cannot give them my A.
Richard, here's the beauty of it. I could give them whatever I want.
You're being biased. You're a Mets fan. What are you going to say? ALZ?
That has nothing to do with it. No, I could. Oh, Richard, I got news for you. Are you just learning me? Like, have you listened to me at all or watched me on TV at all? It's okay if you haven't.
I seen you and I heard from you. Come on, man.
So then,
Richard,
you should know that if there's ever going to be somebody that's critical of the Mets, it's going to be me. So forget the okay. So then, forget the bias stuff. So maybe there's actual reason why I'm giving them an A. So don't look at it and say, well, you're being biased, and thank you for the call. Don't look at it and say you're being biased. Look at it and say, well, why would this guy who always rips everybody and always has higher standards for everybody, why would he give the Mets an A for their first half? And you wouldn't even have to think about that if you just listened to what I said from 10 till about 10:17. And in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You can listen to it again and again and again for free. There's reason to it. The Mets have exceeded all expectations. All expectations. Now, do expectations change in season? Sure. But even with that, they're one half game behind the Phillies. 3 weeks ago, the Mets were left for dead, or 2 weeks ago, left for dead after getting pummeled by the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Where everybody's like, oh, it's not going to work. And I was telling, relax, relax. Me, the person who was once dubbed the mayor of Panic City by Bob Raceman. I told you, relax, they'll be fine. We've lived through god-awful bad baseball teams, poorly run teams, poorly managed teams, teams that had no players with the New York Mets. This is not one of them. So even after they get embarrassed and look bad with the Pirates, there's still reason to believe, oh, and by the way, they were going to get healthier. Look at what happened to the Mets rotation. Ravaged. Now, it's not an excuse. It's reality. And instead of folding, which they could have done, and we were like, well, you know what? The offense just didn't hit. They weren't built to pitch. Instead of folding, they went out there and they had the best pitching in baseball for an extended period. I don't even know where it's at right now because I really don't care about the numbers, but it was such a story that the Mets kept losing these guys left and right. They lost their best pitchers, and yet they still had the best ERA in the sport as a staff. So the reason I come up with the A is because of the results versus expectations. The expectations for the Mets, especially after some of the injuries, were not that they would be right there with the Phillies in the NL East and have the Braves buried. The expectation was that the Mets would be chasing the Phillies and the Braves. And that's not the case. That's all. I told you, it would have been an A-plus if Juan Soto could get a damn hit with runners in scoring position.
I tuned out. I came back when I saw Twitter erupting that we were close to a swing-off. First,
swing
let me just,
off? What the hell is that?
Right, what is a swing-off?
Is that like penalty kicks in soccer?
A swing-off
or a shootout in hockey?
Close. I thought a swing-off when I read it was basically me wearing the pineapple shirts last week, but apparently not. So, look, today, Major League Baseball accomplished something that they should set out to accomplish on the day after the All-Star break. Have people talking about them.
Ah, interesting.
So, my early takeaway from last night is a win for Major League Baseball.
Right.
Because that is a sport that doesn't do enough to garner national attention and national recognition unless it's somebody getting popped for PEDs or a gambling scandal or something. And we love baseball here in New York, but, you know, let's just, from a national point of view, it's not football, it's not the NBA.
People don't want to pay attention.
Exactly.
Unless it's their local team.
And anywhere you turn last night is some good, some bad, but overall reaction to an exhibition event, which we credited hockey for with the Four Nations, much different apples to oranges. People are talking baseball today. So early thing I would say is last night, a win for baseball. Now, truth be told, why was it a win other than people talking about it? Well, it was a win because they had something kooky happen at the end of a game that now left people wondering and interesting on, you know, what the future of that may be. Let me just say this.
It's never coming to Major League Baseball. It's just going to be an all-star thing. There's no way that'll ever happen in a regular season game at all. I know it shortens games. It's actually fun. It's quick. Get it over with. Let's go perform on the moment. But that is never going to happen in a regular season game. And you know why?
Why?
Because history is too important to baseball geeks. Evan Roberts would come home if he heard that this was going to be part of Major League Baseball going forward. There is no way that baseball purists, and there are a lot of them,
I'm a loser,
still would ever, ever sign up to have games finished or decided by swing-offs. Swing-offs! What are we talking about? It's cool for an all-star game, but for a regular, no chance. No chance.
That's your take?
That is my take.
I didn't know that was going to be Tiki's take.
What did you think I was going to say? This is awesome because I'm a soccer guy. I actually like shootouts.
I really thought, I have a little rundown here, and I kind of preface you by saying, hey, we're going to talk about this. I didn't give you my opinion. You give me yours. I'm already ripping up the rundown, dude. I completely disagree with you here. All right, so here's the thing.
Oh, come on, John.
Last night was a win for Major League Baseball because people are talking about this.
100%. I agree with that.
But I actually found it to be an overall loss. If truth be told, I don't want to be the wet blanket. I thought the game sucked at 2-0. In the sixth inning, it was 10 o'clock. I turned to my wife and I said, look, Judge is out of the game.
Right.
Peterson has pitched. Rodon has pitched.
Half these guys left the stadium.
Which is part of why I'm going to be talking about. I was done with it.
Yes.
Then, you know, I'm watching the show with my wife. I look back and I'm like, oh, game got interesting. Then, I'm doing what I do, right? I check Twitter and I see Jason Stark utter this sentence on Twitter. If Edwin Diaz blows this save, we will go immediately to a swing off. And I said, what the hell is that? Excuse me?
I had not heard of this.
And that was like Yankee fan and baseball fan, right? Like music. Wait, hold on. If Edwin Diaz blows the save, we're going to do something nuts, right? Like I carried everything. So
this
I went,
is not a troll, Met fans.
No, it's not. But you know what I mean? You read that, like, I'm in. So Jazz Chisholm's up. That was the moment I went back to the game. I even missed the Pete Homer live. Jazz gets robbed by an unbelievable play. Obviously, we know that little infield hit. Game gets tied. We go to this swing off. The reason I wasn't infatuated with last night was, like you said, the guys went home. Judge was probably halfway to the Bahamas.
Right, and half the other guys were in street clothes.
In street clothes. Scooble came out in the street clothes. You could see basically half the players in each dugout was left. And Aaron Boone gets up there to announce the three guys that were pre-picked. Don't get me wrong.
Was it?
So that was part of it too, Tiki. Apparently, and this goes back. I know Tommy.
Or was it like who still has a uniform on?
That's going to be.
You still have your jockstrap on? Okay, you go up.
But that's part of it.
Right.
So they knew the stars that would be left that would be playing late in the game.
Got it.
I watch all these Yankee AL East games. I'm not even kidding. I'm not going to try to act egotistical. When I heard him announce Arenado, I said to myself, I watched the intros. I watched all the game. Who the hell's that?
Right.
That was your third home run hitter. Aaron Boone had this list out, and it was very uninspiring. To the National League's credit, Schwarber's a guy who hits bombs all the time, and we would have had Pete going last, and fine. So the National League guys stick around. But that's why I was a wet blanket about it. I go, all right, I see what baseball's doing. This could be fun. Oh, by the way, the home run derby aspect of it is exactly how the home run derby should have looked the night before.
Right.
We're not timing this out. Right. They're getting three swings.
Something from the All-Star game about what you should do the night before in the home run derby.
Exactly. So I got the appeal. What I didn't expect was the social media explosion. If you're not a social media, bless your heart, mm-hmm. of people going, this is awesome.
See, I didn't see it. Okay. I didn't see the social media discourse around it.
People loved it. Really? And I had kind of tweeted
out. Because it ended it quickly or because it was just...
It was cool and different.
Well, I mean, look, the one cool thing about it is that the pressure of that moment is it's incalculable.
Yes.
Right? Think about how big, especially if you're making it a big deal to you. And clearly Schwarber did because he went up there and he raked like we should have expected him to do. But just think about that moment. You're basically taking batting practice to win a game.
Now, yeah.
It's an exhibition game, but it's still pressure. People are watching.
Of course.
If you go out there and fail in that moment, people will mock you. It won't last. It won't be lasting because it's only an All-Star game. But still, people will mock you if you go out there and hit ground balls. You know what I mean? And so
yeah.
It's a big pressure-filled moment, which you don't often see in All-Star games.
Bingo. Bingo, it's a pressure-filled moment. And yes, you don't often see it in All-Star games. And that's where I sat on the couch last night, and I have to admit, as much as I was a wet blank, I started doing a little more research on it. I'm like, huh. And I sat there and I said, I cringe at the idea that people are going to think this is a hot take because I promise you it's not.
Go ahead.
It's not a matter of whether I want this to happen or won't it happen. I'm here to tell you, this is absolutely coming to the regular season.
Why do you think that?
Okay.
There's no way.
I think so. I think so, right. First of all. Here, let me lay this out for you. I was going to make a quick joke. There's no way Sauce Gardner's signing a contract extension until half an hour later.
Right.
So here's what happened. When you're in that spot, baseball was happy that it went to a swing-off because the good test balloon is how do the fans react.
Yes.
And for an event that basically didn't have the star power late, fans loved it.
Mm.
People are talking about baseball. If you were to tell us 15, 20 years ago, we would be having runners put on second base in extra innings in Major League Baseball. Purists and everybody alike would have yelled and screamed, what are you talking about? Baseball will never do that. Are you out of your mind?
That's a good point. They don't do it for the postseason when the games matter most. But still,
and I'm not
they still do it in the regular season. No, you're right.
I'm not talking about the postseason. Now, people get very, I don't know. What did you say about fans showing up last week and the revenue in baseball and staying in stadiums?
Right, it's a big part.
Selling
it. It's a big part of the regular season bottom line for each and every team. You got to have people coming to the stadium.
So if a game is a tight game and you're thinking to yourself, I've already spent 2 hours, 2.5 hours, are you more prone to stay that extra half an hour, 45 minutes knowing, you know what, I might get to see one of these swing-offs. Maybe I'll buy another bucket of popcorn, something like that. It adds intrigue, it adds revenue little by little. Also, I am a hockey fan, okay? And the NHL did the shootout thing years ago, and I remember screaming and yelling that I hated it.
Right.
I have to be honest, as we sit here today, I love it. I absolutely am on the edge of my seat. And for anybody who says, well, games are determined by one or two games in the standings, you can't be doing that. I would say nonsense. You're already putting a runner on second base. It's not real baseball.
Right. It's basically just a hit.
Just
get a hit.
Just get a hit.
And you're artificially getting a run.
And what are rosters built off more than anything? How many calls do we take on the fan about rosters not being built right? It's home run strikeout now.
Okay, so how does this work? So if this should happen in the regular season, you have a swing off, and you get three swings, and those swings determine whether or not your team wins or not.
Yeah.
Are you now going to the game with 55 home runs? You come out, you got 58?
No, they do not count. Just like goals and scored in a shootout do not count in the NHL towards your goal total.
Is that right?
They don't. They don't. That. That's not part of your goal total. So they won't count in your stats.
Soccer's got it the other way.
Soccer, they count?
They count.
Nope. See, they don't. So I'm going to keep it that way. I don't think we should mess with the statistical analysis at all.
Right.
I also don't think you go right there after the ninth inning. Okay? Play two innings of baseball. So I'm not looking to jump right to the swing off. But we can't play all night. So think about how little this would happen. I'm asking you to play two innings of extra innings with that runner on second. You already have it. If you don't have a winner after 11. So this may only happen... You know, you have to do the math how many times we've gone past the 11th inning in a baseball game. So it's going to be minimal anyway.
Lately, not a lot.
Not a lot. Not a lot. So I'm not asking you to go right to nine. So I think I've already found a way where...
So you're saying it's probably two or three times in a season.
Right. Now, it could be higher. I'd have to get the exact number. Right. But after 11 innings, we've done two innings. You guys are this highly contested. You get to pick your three batters. So everybody yelled last night that Judge wasn't in it, that Ohtani wasn't in it.
Right.
Guess what? If those teams play a game after 11 innings, those guys are going to be forced to do it because now the game matters in terms of your standings for win-loss record. You're going to see swing-offs with some of the biggest power stars. And maybe, you know, that extra bat you keep as a DH, it's a big home run hitter that you're contemplating. Is this guy worth it, the flexibility on the roster? Maybe that guy hangs around on your team all year because that's the guy you want to call on in that spot. So I could already hear it in Tiki's voice. I brought up a couple points that have swayed him the other way. I would be in favor of it. And it's, to me, I don't even think it's a matter of whether we're in favor or not in favor of it. I am telling you, this, after what we saw last night, is coming to the regular season. Everything is a test balloon. The ABS system, we're going to talk about that later on, test balloon.
Right.
Runner on second, the pandemic, all that stuff, test balloon. The swing off last night, Major League Baseball's had this rule for 7 years, they finally got it. And if you don't like it, and you don't want it in the regular season, guess what? Your positive reaction that everybody had last night, you're going to be partially to blame. Baseball will be a buzz. In the summertime, you see all these shows that are headlined nationally. Oh, where's LeBron going? Where's this going? You wake up the next morning and there's a baseball game determined with stars swinging it off at a swing-off.
Right.
What is everybody going to talk about nationally? Did you see that swing-off? That was pretty cool. This is coming to Major League Baseball. We just don't know it yet.
Right.
And what we experienced last night.
Interesting.
I think it'd be a good move for baseball.
So prior to the Manfred Man... The average extra inning game was 11.3 innings. Okay. And that was about 9% of games went to extra innings, with an average of being 11.3. Since the automatic runner rule, it has the average game has lasted now 10.3 innings.
Right.
And that's about 7% of those games go to extra innings. So
it's
a small percentage.
Very small percentage. And again, if you're going to say, well, how could you determine standings based on that? There's 162 Major League Baseball games.
It's all good until it's your team that gets screwed out of a postseason berth because of the swing off.
Or maybe, Tiki, the Yankees win a division because they actually have home run hitters.
Here's the thing. Now it affects how you're building your team. Now it affects...
Or does it? Because it's not going to happen that often.
I mean, maybe.
There's strategy involved.
There is a lot of strategy involved, but it seems very, I don't know, non-pure. It feels like it's gimmicky, and it works in an all-star game, but gimmicky in a regular season where purists are going to hate it. I really don't see that this will catch on.
But if you don't count the stats, which you shouldn't, there shouldn't be an argument against purity then, and we've already taken the leap of making it not real baseball in extra innings, and we've accepted it. We screamed and yelled about it, purists did.
Right.
And guess what happens now? We're not spending 5 hours in front of our TV, or the games end, and we've accepted it.
No, they're quick.
They're quick, and there might be a few out there going, I hate this, but they hate it for 3 seconds, they move on with their day, and the game's determined.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get the purists right away, and within 2 years of this happening a couple times, it will be a win for baseball, it will give them buzz, and purists will start to fade out more and more and become accepting.
I don't know. I didn't even know. I didn't know that this was a rule.
I didn't either.
They've never tested it, right, in the independent leagues or in the minor. They've never done any of that.
I got a text from somebody who worked in independent leagues, said this was a thing in all-star games they did years ago.
All-star games. Talking about regular season games.
No.
You haven't seen it fully tested, so we don't know what it would be or look like. Look, and I'm sure in an independent league or in the minor leagues, it'd probably be awesome.
It would.
Because you're basically having a home run derby at the end of tie games. Or after whatever, however many innings it goes to.
I don't mean to poo-poo those guys that work their ass off. I love going to Long Island Ducks games. Mm-hmm. Long Island, they're an independent. But not exactly like big-time thumping home run hitters. So it would probably be a little more boring in that test out.
No, I hear you.
It's the best of the best in Major League Baseball.
You're probably making your way to the league.
Exactly. So that becomes electric. Imagine a Yankee-Red Sox game, and here come Judge and Stanton as part of the Swingers, and how we'd be screaming and yelling if they don't get the job done.
Right.
Of course, the NHL, it's not like they send three stiffs up there. They usually take their three top goal scorers, depending on who's better on breakaways, and they do it, and we accept it. And you mentioned it, Tiki. I let you say it. The pressure, the entire stadium staring at you. You should take these pitches to hit out of the
park. It's not even like you're getting a 95 mile an hour fastball. You're getting a groove batting practice.
Yeah, even more pressure. Even more pressure. So, do you believe the swing off is coming to Major League Baseball's regular season?
Way.
Are you in favor of it? 888-808-1019. We will get your calls plus positive Tommy. I have no idea where he lies on this. As well, we'll get to his thoughts. Major League Baseball with a win last night, even if some of us want to throw cold water on it.
So we got a busy week. Plenty of guests. We'll have Brian Myers in studio today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, talk some Mets with him. Obviously, he's going to promote the wrestling going on at UBS Arena coming Saturday night. Tomorrow, Damian Priest in studio. He was born in the Bronx, grew up a big Yankee fan, so we'll talk some Yanks. And some wrestling with him, so we have some different stuff. And then obviously guests throughout the course of the week to talk about David Wright and what he's meant to the franchise. You have to check out the special from SNY. It'll air Thursday night, premiere Thursday night the right way. It's great, and it's been fun reliving, you know, me getting a chance to watch that early and then reading stuff. Vaccaro had an excellent column today in the New York Post about David Wright. I think Tony DeComo had him from MLB.com over the weekend as well. There's a lot that goes on with David Wright, you know, different stories, reliving it and behind-the-scenes stuff. So it'll be a fun week leading up to his retirement, jersey retirement, on Saturday. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Matthew is calling from Edison. What's up, Matthew?
What's up, Sal? I'm a Yankee fan. I know they have holes. I know they're going through stuff. But I just don't understand how you said Giancarlo isn't a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I don't think he is. But that's just my opinion. I get that many people think he would be.
He has an MVP. 400 home runs. He's probably going to end up with 450, possibly 2,000 hits.
How about this? I'll make you a deal. He gets the five. He gets my approval.
All right. Well, my dad, he's old. Rizzuto's in there. He's better than Rizzuto.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's different, obviously.
All right. I hear you, boss.
Well, my question is, Matthew, like, A, why do you care if he's a Hall of Famer or not? And B, as a Yankee fan, you're happy with the trade? When you got
he didn't live up to it, but if he wasn't in New York, he'd be praised as a great forever with those numbers.
Well, I think a lot of people do view him as a great forever, and thank you for the call. I don't. I'm not a lot of people. By the way, I don't know if you want to go based on war. I probably wouldn't do that. I'm just looking at some of his numbers pre-Yankees. I mean, think about this with Giancarlo Stanton. This is actually remarkable. Giancarlo Stanton has had one season with the Yankees, one season that he has surpassed 100 RBI. Matter of fact, he's only had three in his career. That's a big, bad run producer, and you're going to tell me, well, he was with the Marlins, and they stunk. Okay, well, then what about the Yankees? His first season, 2018, his best season. He hit .266, 38 homers, 100 RBI. Played 158 games. Since then, been brutal. I'm sorry, been brutal. You hurt 2019, hurt 2020, even in the shortened season. 2021, he had 35-97. Okay, not bad. But, I mean, 35-97 is not quite 59-132. The Yankees got him after he won the MVP and had 59 homers and drove in 132 runs. They bought high on Giancarlo. That was by far his career best. Prior to that, he had a 37-105 year. And he was a beast, don't get me wrong. Was the key term here. The Yankees got him off a year where he had 59 homers, drove in 132 runs. Next year he goes 38-100, not close to what he did, but still, you take it. Then in 2021, 35-97. 2022 in 110 games, 31 homers, 78 ribbies. Now, it's not my fault he only played 110 games. That's his fault. So if you do the math, like, yeah, he would have hit 40 homers at least if he played more, you would think, if he played another 50 games. Hey, he didn't play. Played 110 games. 2023, 24 and 60. 2024, 27 and 72. Like, that's, and not to mention the batting average. Stanton has not had an OPS over 9 with the Yankees. 2019, he had 894, if that's your thing. Like, by any measurement, the slugging the year before he came to the Yanks, 631. The year before he came to the, and the Yankees traded for him on the heels of an MVP year, he slugged 631. You know what his highest since then has been with the Yankees? 516. Like, that is just, he's been nowhere near what he was supposed to get. Not to mention he can't run and doesn't have a position in the field. And he just can't stay healthy. We're at the All-Star break. He's got 4 home runs. Yeah, but Sal, he played 21 games. Yeah, that's part of the problem too. He's never healthy. Never available. And you think that's Hall of Fame? I'm sorry, I don't. Career-wise, if he gets to 500 homers, he will get in the Hall of Fame. He might get in anyway. I do not. Now, when I was watching him with the Marlins, and by the way, he's been an All-Star once with the Yankees. Once. Since 2018. And that year, he had 211 that year. I mean, that is just screaming All-Star. I mean, with the Marlins, when I used to watch him, I thought for sure, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. This guy's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. For sure. You'd watch him and feel that. With the Yankees, I have not felt that once. I'm not trying to knock Stan. I'm just giving the reality. Bobby is in Ozone Park. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Bobby. How are you?
How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Listen, I'm going to be objective here, if you give me a minute. Now, a lot of people accuse you of being biased. I don't. You give your opinion, and then they can take it as they want it.
Sure.
But I will say one thing, though. For you to turn around and give the Mets an A, that's fine. That's fine. They've been through a lot. They've had a lot of injuries, a lot of pitching injuries. But you fail to mention how devastated the Yankee pitching staff has been.
No, I mentioned
they
that.
Lost Cole. They lost Cole. They lost Heal.
Yep.
They now lose Schmidt. They lost Stroman for a month and a half. Yarbrough was pitching great. They lost him. Wait a minute now. So we're going to say the Mets were devastated, but the Yankees were not?
No, the Yankees were hit hard by injury, but it was two different things. The Mets were hit hard with pitching to a point where they didn't have enough pitching going in, and they were ravaged in their pitching staff, and they had the best ERA, Bobby, for the majority of the first half in all of sport. That's a big difference. Yeah, the Yankees lost Gerrit Cole. They also have Max Fried right there, who's one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the game. I mentioned it. I don't know what that would. Why does the Yankees' injuries have to factor in with the Mets' grade? Is what I'm confused. I gave the Yankees.
No,
their,
well, the thing is, but you have, but then again, then people knock Cashman, right? So Cashman goes out and gets Fried. Mm-hmm. He goes out and he gets Devlin Williams. He goes out and gets Goldschmidt. He makes a. The heist of the century, getting Bellinger. They traded Petit for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yet, we talk. Maybe I look at it differently, Sal. I've been a Yankee fan since 68.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As a fan of any sport, Giants, Islanders, Yankees, all I ever ask for my team is that every year, give me a shot to win it all. And you know what? The Yankees do that.
Every year.
What more can you ask?
Well, I mean, you can only ask that they win it all. And that's the argument, Bobby. I never said otherwise. I mean, the Yankees just started. BT and I were fighting about this the other day, last week. I'm like, everything's still possible for the Yankees. I still think they're going to win the division, which means they're going to be in the playoffs, which means they're going to have a chance, just like they did a year ago, even though I didn't think they were particularly good last year, to get to the World Series. And they were good in the playoffs, or at least good enough to get to the World Series. Then we know what happened with the Dodgers. But the Yankees, every single year, more often than not, for the last 30-plus years, every single year they give you a chance to win a World Series.
And that's all you can ever ask.
Well, then you're
sad. That's all you can ever ask, because once you're in, you got a shot.
I know, but then how come in all... The Yankees are also in more than everybody else, right? So the Yankees, like you said, all you could ask is that they get in every year and give a chance to win, which they do. Well, then how come they haven't broken through once?
Well, wait a minute. Since 1987, the Dodgers won one World Series.
I'm talking about since 2009.
No, I'm talking about generally speaking, right? I mean, the Dodgers, they win every year. They take away the
No, but they you can't take it away. They won it in 2020.
No, no. But what I'm saying, aside from last year, they played 38 years. They won one World Series.
Understood. But up until last year, the Yankees haven't even been to a World Series since 2009.
Well, wait a minute. I thought, though, the point was that you have to win it all, that if you make it, it don't mean anything.
Oh, no, but you're taking away when the Dodgers did win it. So if you're going to take
I don't take away. No, I'm saying it's very hard to do.
No, you literally just said if you take away last year, and then you're going to put nitpick in the pandemic year, which, sure, it's a pandemic year, but the Yankees didn't win it.
No, I counted the pandemic year. Yeah. Okay, I counted that.
I wouldn't, but the Yankees didn't win it. The Dodgers did. And the Dodgers.
But all I know is that.
And who spends more money, the Dodgers or the Yankees? Like, there's a lot. And Bobby, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that I think you're being too lenient. There's a reason why the Yankees haven't gotten to a World Series prior to last year when they had Soto, which they no longer have, and haven't won one. And I believe it's a flaw in the way that they build their teams.
See, I don't know about that. I don't think that's fair.
That's a good argument.
I don't think that's fair. You say it's a flaw, but it's good enough to win the divisions. It's good enough to win rounds.
Right, and not good enough to win the World Series.
But wait a minute, though, Sal. There's a lot of great teams that are perfect that go into the World Series and lose.
It's not ideal. I know, but Bobby, that's one year that they got into the World Series and lost. The other years, they never got there, and thank you for the call. And by the way, it's a good debate. You sound like the Yankees would say, and that's fair. You could say that. It's a good argument. I just believe that there is a flaw fundamentally in the way that they build a team that has held them back in the postseason. Last year, it was able to be overcome because they had Juan Soto. We'll see this year. If they pitch the way that they're supposed to pitch and they get healthier with Luis Gil and hope that Luke Weaver can find himself in the bullpen and they'll add some arms, and they play defense the way that they're capable of playing defense. Now, I mean, that's going to take a lot from your shortstop, who's been a butcher this year. Or I shouldn't even say butcher. He's looked like a minor leaguer this year. He's not a butcher. He's just mentally, he's playing the game like a minor leaguer. And that can't happen. They have to figure out how to maximize their offensive output with their lineup, but yet maximize the best defensive team they have as well. They're still trying to figure that out. But they can win the World Series. They just got to go out there and do it. Prove me wrong. I believe there's a fundamental flaw with the launch angle, with the not valuing defense, with the lack of valuing strikeouts. Don't care if a guy strikes out a ton. All about the power, 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 power. Which looks great when you're bludgeoning teams in the regular season. Then when things get tight in the postseason, you can't manufacture a run. And I'm not talking about bunt. I'm talking about put the ball in play. Play the game. Play baseball. Put the ball in play. Make the defense do something. Now, the Yankees have started to go in that direction. I don't know if they're fully there yet. But that, to me, for years, those years from, say, 2017 prior to last year, or even last year if you want to count it, but last year, obviously, they made the World Series. Those years, to me, the Yankees just did not build the team the right way. Wasn't enough balance, whether it be with the defense, the offense, whatever it may be. Not enough balance in the lineup, lefty-righty, and not enough balance with home run versus contact guys. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Speaking of the Mets, Rich is in Jim Thorpe, PA. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call. By the way, right now I think the Mets are a better chance to get to the World Series than the Yankees, but I got a couple of keys for the Mets to get that far. They got to get healthier in the bullpen.
What makes you think that they have a better chance than the Yankees to get there?
First of all, I'm going to say this. The National League, to me, is a much better league than the American League. Much better. I think the Mets, with the Phillies, the Braves, they got to go through the National League. It's a better league overall than the American League. I would say the National League should be favored to win the World Series no matter who gets there.
That's right, but wouldn't that make it more difficult for the Mets to get through to get to a World Series?
Exactly. That's why I want to give you a couple of keys as to maybe how we can get past the tougher teams. Now, in the bullpen, everybody wants bullpen help. I don't know about Nunez, but Budo's got to get healthy. I think Brooks Raley, now he's a key. He's a good left-hand pitcher, and he's getting healthy. I think they're going to bring him up, and he's going to help. DH, Marte and Winker, they're hurt, but they got to come back, and I think that's going to be fine. The big key to me is Vientos and Alvarez. Alvarez is going to come back. He's got to hit. He's got to play better defense. Vientos looks like he's coming around a little bit. If we don't get much out of them, then I don't think we can get to the World Series.
Yeah,
let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this about getting an arm for the bullpen, too. What about Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah, he was a guy that was brought up. But here's the problem, though, Rich. The Red Sox have won 10 straight, and thank you for the call. Good stuff there. The Red Sox have won 10 straight. I'm not so sure they're going to be selling off pieces anymore, whether that's Duran, whether it's Chapman. I'm not sure what they're going to do. We're going to find out here. The baseball deadline, obviously, trade deadline coming up July 31st, so you got 2 weeks. 2 weeks to decide who's going to be sellers, who's going to be, maybe a little over 2 weeks, I guess. Although, no, because this week they're not going to play a game until Friday. So you talk about 2 weeks of games. Where are we at? This is Monday the 14th. So this week, and you get basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I mean, just over, you know, 10 or so games, about 2 weeks of game action before the trade deadline. So I'm sure teams are trying to figure it out. But as far as the Red Sox go, you got to believe they're going to be buyers, if anything. Can't be selling off. You know, the thought was after Devers, they're folding. Well, they've won 10 straight. They're on the heels of the Yankees in the American League East and just 3 games back of the Blue Jays. Now, that doesn't sound like selling to me, but I would love Aroldis Chapman. I think the Mets need definitively. See, the Yankees need bullpen arms. The Mets need a top-notch bullpen arm. The Yankees have that with Williams and Weaver. Weaver, at his best, is a top-notch high-leverage reliever. The Mets don't have a second high-leverage reliever right now behind Edwin Diaz. Maybe Raley could be that. They need one no-doubt-about-it stud, whereas I think the Yankees could benefit from a no-doubt-about-it stud, but also just need a couple of legit bullpen arms. Doesn't have to be the top guy out of the pen, on the market out of the pen. And I do think your point about Vientos and Alvarez is a good one. Alvarez raking in the minor leagues. Vientos starting to get going a little bit, going into the break. But can you trust those guys? You're going to rely on those guys ultimately? I think it comes down to more making sure Nimmo continues to do what he's done and Soto producing with runners in scoring position. Now, obviously, Vientos and Alvarez can help lengthen that lineup out. Maybe the Mets need another bat, whether they feel like in center field or DH. They do need a center fielder. I don't know if I would trust the DH spot as much as you do with Winker and Marte. A, they're hurt. B, they're not that good when they're healthy. But the Mets are in a good spot right now. Joe, so are the Yankees. Joe is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
I couldn't agree with you more, but in terms of Stanton being an abject failure, right? I mean, that killed the 2017 Yankees. We needed a lefty bat and an ace, and we went and traded for Stanton. Ugh. I don't even care what we gave up.
Yeah, you're right, because the thought, Joe, was that they gave up nothing. It doesn't matter. They didn't need that. You just nailed it. They needed an ace and a lefty bat, and they chose Stanton.
That's number one. Number two, I don't think that, yeah, as much as I would love for them to trade for Garcia from the Royals, I don't think they would. Because, you know, he had that issue with Volpe in the playoffs and then that issue with Jazz this year, right? At third base with, you know, when Jazz slid into third base.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, I don't know if they would let that get in their way, but I would if I'm the Yankees. Just, and again, I don't even know if he's available. He's just one player that caught my attention this week, watching him with the Mets when the Mets are taking on the Royals for three, and also that he got named to the All-Star team. That's the type of, again, not just because he's an All-Star, but because he hits 300 and plays good defense. That's what I want, as opposed to the guy who hits 20 or 30 homers and strikes out a ton.
Listen, I agree wholeheartedly, and you're spot on with, you know, the flaws, right? You know, how many years did we watch all right-handed batters playing at the Bronx, right? I mean, how ridiculous was that? But I would go after IKF. I would go after Ahmed Rosario. You wouldn't have to give up much for either of those two. And they're exactly what you need, a solid fielding third baseman that hits about 280 with contact and gives you a little pop here and there. They really don't strike out. But you're right on. I mean, and as a Yankee fan, it pains me to admit it, but you're spot on.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't, Joe, and thank you for the call. Look, we're adults here, are we not? Come on. This is not a me Mets versus you Yankees. I hate that, as a matter of fact. Both teams equally. It's the same thing. Like, sometimes BT and I will poke fun at each other. Yeah, he's a Yankee fan. I'm a Mets fan, so you lean into it a little bit more because you're doing a show with a Yankee fan. Fine, but believe me, I don't care. This is not, if this were 2000, be a different story. It's 25 years ago. I've grown up somewhat. So it shouldn't pain you to admit it that we agree. Now, where I would disagree is I wouldn't want Rosario if I'm the Yanks. I guess I'd be open to IKF. I don't know. Similar with Cedric Mullins, where I was like, yeah, the Mets just need a proven veteran in center field, and Mullins would fit that bill. I don't know if I don't think it's enough for me. Same thing with IKF. Like, it sounds great, but I don't know. Been there, done that. That's going to be the move. Maybe. I feel like you get, you know, it's got to be bigger than IKF, no? Might as well just stick with Peraza.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.